All right, welcome into the Fan pregame, a little baby Friday action. A busy night tonight. We've got three guests lined up for you. Frank Saravelli in about 10 minutes on the heels of some breaking news, which he reported first. Luke Richardson fired from the Chicago Blackhawks head coaching role. We'll get into more in depth with him. Of course, look at our Four Nations results. Now the dust is settled. We have a bet with Frank. We're going to try to solidify.
Yeah, we got to put some stakes on the line. Again, feeling a lot more comfortable based on actually seeing the roster. So we'll see if Frank feels any different. And yeah, we'll tee up the Raptors game tonight on Sportsnet. My team
it's
in a
Justin's
lot of ways.
It's Justin's favorite night of the year.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy. It's happy Justin's day with the Oklahoma City Thunder rolling through Scotiabank Arena. So we'll tee that up with Aaron Rose and also bring in Teresa Resch, president of the newest team in Toronto, the newest professional team in Toronto, the Toronto Tempo. Tempo caught us by surprise a little bit. There were a couple leaks, but we got it official today before we even woke up to the news of the Toronto Tempo joining the WNBA officially. What was your reaction when you saw the name brand?
Yeah, I like the Tempo. I think the name is really catchy. Toronto Tempo. It's quick. It's concise. The name is itself. I definitely think that the logo is maybe where I'm feeling the less inspired version of fandom right now, but I like Toronto Tempo. I know that, you can never please everybody. It's a very hard process. We saw it when we looked at what the PWHL was going through with year one, and they had the slight release of the names, and then they kind of backtracked and took another year. But the Tempo are what we're going to have in this city. We're showing a little bit of some of the graphics on, if you're watching on Sportsnet,
like a
Drake
album cover.
Yeah, like it's cool. It's catchy. It's kind of like retro inspired. And I usually like retro things, but just that little bit of the logo hasn't fully solidified in my heart yet. But once you see something on a jersey, it looks so much better. Just like the PWHL launch this year, like I was like, what's this Boston Fleet? Now that might be my favorite one because it all comes together when the jerseys are put together and the colors. You really like the colors.
Yeah, I'm actually coming around on everything. Looking at the logo again, like I'm starting to like it a little bit more. And it's not like the most creative logo you've ever seen. It's like, it's a lot like the Pacers. It's a lot like the OHL logo.
Yeah, so why I'm feeling like a bit, because I've seen everyone's funny tweets about the OHL and the Pacers, but
yeah,
like, whatever.
But even just seeing it on the screen, like I like it a little bit more now that I'm seeing it. But the thing I like the best about it is the name. I think Toronto Tempo is a great name, and I do love the colors as well. I think it could look really, really good on a jersey if they do it right. The colors are, I don't even know how to describe them. They're Gatorade color-esque.
No, yeah, we looked this up before we came on the air because we haven't found the actual words for the colors yet because, sometimes there's specific words. But the thing that popped out for us was the Gatorade frost, the purple frost, and the ice blue frost. Like, if you look at that, that's kind of the colors they use, which are my favorite Gatorades.
But it's not like a blue. Like, it's not like a color. It's almost like an off-white with, like,
frost.
A blue tinge to the white. So I think you got two quality colors there in a different red or burgundy or purple or however you want to say it. And then that off-white blue, which I think is really cool. And I think the jerseys are going to be awesome if they do it right. But I do, the one caution I have about the name is that it, like, there's some basketball to it, right? Like, it says something about your team, right? Are you going to play with tempo? Are the Toronto Tempo going to have tempo? And you could have slow tempo.
No, they got to be
that
fast.
Could be part of your identity. But if this team has, like, no semblance of tempo, if they are disorganized in ways like that, then all the jokes are right there for people to take shots at the Toronto team. But I do think, like, it's a lot of the names in the WNBA are sort of abstract. There's, like, the Sun and the Mercury. Like, I guess the Mercury's, like, I guess you kind of know what it is. Maybe I don't even know it because I'm not coming up with it off the top of my head. But there are some abstract names in the WNBA.
There's the Fever. There's the Dream.
Yeah,
there's
it's
the
not
Sky.
Like,
there's the Sun. Like,
the Valkyries are different. The Valkyries are the new Golden State team, and it's like they're one of the few ones that are plural, where it's not this abstract thing. And I think the Tempo, in some ways, is another abstract thing that sort of fits how the WNBA presents its franchises. So I think that works too.
Like, if you go through the Eastern Conference, the Dream, the Sky, Sun.
Dream,
Sky, Sun, Fever, Liberty, Mystics. Like, Tempo goes right with that.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that it goes in tandem with what's already existing. And when you talk about speed, you talk about tempo. We're going to speak to Teresa Resch, as we mentioned, around 6:45, who's the president of the Toronto Tempo. She said tempo is pace, it's speed, it's a heartbeat. It's what you feel when you step into the streets of the city and in the energy of the people who call Canada home. And this is obviously the first WNBA team in Canada. I think where some folks are finding like a little bit of an area to maybe complain is like, what does tempo mean to Canada? It's like, well, maybe it just means like the pace of this vibrant city that we call
home. That's certainly abstract, right?
Yeah. Like,
it's leaning into that.
For sure. But
you have to make your own interpretation in some ways.
And that was one of the things that they said they were going to focus on in this search. You know, they had a multiple, like a call to action for fans to submit names. And they said one of the things they really wanted to do was make this Canadian. So we'll talk to Teresa at 6:45. And she said that there's more than 10,000 submissions of fan names for this as well. And one thing that they noted is tempo works both in English and French.
So, and I think that's cool, too. I think that's a cool little wrinkle. We will talk to her in the next block, but I love one other thing she said. As Canada's WNBA team, I know the tempo will set our own pace, move at a championship cadence. Mm. That's a hell of a line. After picking the tempo and inspire people across the country. We'll ask her what a championship cadence is for a WNBA team. In the next block.
All right. Our text line is open 590-590. You can shoot us a message. Standard message and data rates apply. 590-590. What do you think of the newest WNBA franchise just around the corner? The Toronto Tempo. Is it growing on you? You want to see the merch? I'd love to see some merch personally. Obviously, they'll be playing at Coca-Cola Coliseum, which is now also home to the women's franchise in the PWHL. We've got the Toronto Scepters, who had their own name launch in the Marley. So it's got a lot going on in that little hub.
Scepters and Tempo, new ownership there at the Coca-Cola Coliseum.
All right. You mentioned it. It's Justin's night. Yeah. OKC rolling into town, a team that you very much admire.
Yeah, and how could you not admire the Oklahoma City Thunder? I mean, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is probably my favorite athlete, just like currently flying his trade. I love Shai. That's not a secret. A lot of people love Shai. He, of course, carries the torch for Canada basketball, which is why he's at the forefront of that for me. But they also have J-Dub and Chet Holmgren, who are two burgeoning superstars as well. But I think the thing that I appreciate most about them, and I think the thing that actually relates to a Raptors discussion, is that they do things the right way. Like, they started from scratch, right? They definitely burned it down after the KD era. And it's been a slow, methodical build, and sometimes it is that painful, but they don't cut any corners. They do things the right way. They are so process-oriented, but they don't tell you this is the process and just, you know, put it in your face that way. This is a team that is so methodically building towards something special that it has set them up for success. It set them up with unmatched depth, ultimate flexibility when it comes to adding over the course of this huge extended window that they have to win a championship with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I do think in some ways it can't be the blueprint for Toronto because Toronto has looked at this an entirely different way and they've already sort of locked up a lot of what their future is going to look like. But this is proof that you can tear it down and set yourself up for success if you do it the right way by not cutting corners. And they deserve all the credit in the world because they have the same afflictions as Toronto in a lot of ways. Like, it's not where everybody wants to go and play necessarily. But that doesn't matter. If you do it the right way, you can build something that is the envy of the league. In a lot of ways, the Thunder are the envy of the NBA, and we're going to see that on display at Scotiabank Arena tonight.
Yeah, the thing that I think a lot of us Canadian basketball fans want is to see Shai win an MVP. And it's hard when there's a couple guys that seem to be in the front running for that all the time. Like, what can Shai do this season? Because you mentioned it, this is a very balanced team. Like, even Shai doesn't have to go off and get 40, 45 every night. Like, he does when he wants to, but we look through the rosters and we're looking at a best bet for later. And you mentioned like J-Dub getting points and like, it's not just always Shai. And so that might hurt him in the end when it comes to MVP voting, because if they're up, like, he doesn't need to be selfish. Like, he shares the ball really well and they have a bunch of guys getting 10, 15, 20 points. Like, is there a path to Shai getting the MVP without injuries?
Well, I think he's definitely in the discussion, but you're right. I think the team may be so good and so deep that they sort of cannibalize a little bit off Shai. And Shai still has great numbers. I mean, he'd be in the top three in the MVP voting if they did it right now. But Jokic having to carry his team puts him in a position where the numbers are just going to look better. The impact is going to look better because he doesn't have the same supporting cast that Shai can lean on. But I think that's part of it. And the strong culture that they have, I don't think that's priority one for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to worry about his box score. I think this is a team that has a different goal in mind, and he's the head of the snake in all of that. And the one thing before we go to Frank that I love the most about them, so when they do post-game interviews, they're all there and they're all enjoying
they're
each other.
Team,
they feel like the strongest team among the teams in the NBA. There's a lot of good teams in the NBA. Celtics definitely have culture, but there's something special about what the Thunder have done building together since day one.
A lot of Canadians on the court tonight. We'll get you set for that OKC in Toronto. It's on Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet East, and Sportsnet 360, 7:30 tip there. Let's bring in Frank Saravelli, president of hockey content at dailyfaceoff.com. Frank, you're breaking some news before we started the show, so let's start there. Luke Richardson fired as head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. I know it's been a disappointing season. I know I've seen a lot of frustration from, you know, someone like a Connor Bedard breaking a stick in the last couple games. It just hit the bubbling over point, and this had to be done.
Yeah, I think we probably should start a Connor Bedard broken stick counter, because it feels like we haven't gotten through one game this year where that frustration hasn't boiled over. And look, I think it's going to be a new voice, a new new lease on life. I think the number one goal for Anders Sorensen now taking over as Chicago Blackhawks interim head coach has to be to try and unlock Connor Bedard. Because if you look at the pure points and production this year, it's down from last year, and it's not horrible by any means. But if you actually watch the play, this doesn't seem like a guy that, you know, should have been knocking on the door for Team Canada at the Four Nations Face-Off like he probably would have been had he picked up where he left off last season and taken it to another level. And that's probably true of everyone on the Blackhawks to start through the first 26 games this season. They went out and made some major moves. Teuvo Teravainen, after a great five games to start the year, his game has fallen off a cliff. Tyler Bertuzzi has been extremely quiet. Taylor Hall, a guy supposed to be healthy this year, turned into a surprise healthy scratch. This, as a whole, this team has been pretty disjointed for a while, and it kind of felt like they had arrived at this point where a change needed to be made.
Yeah, it's a little surprising, honestly. Like, if you set odds for this at the start of the season, I mean, what would the odds be that Luke Richardson would have fired? I'm sure they'd be pretty long. But doesn't this put more stress in a way on, or more burden on the shoulders of Connor Bedard? Now it's like, hey, you got a coach fired, but a coach that had a lot of promise and was supposed to be, you know, working in tandem with you for a long time, because it's not working in your orbit, probably lost his job. Or is there something else? Was it like clear that Luke Richardson was failing this group in a certain way?
I mean, I think failing is probably a bit of a reach, but the best way I could describe what I've seen with the Hawks has been a team that's been disconnected. You know, you watch them in the offensive zone, despite having some significant firepower in someone like Bedard, he's able to, when he gets a shot off, it's usually a one and done opportunity, and it's going the other way. No sustained offensive zone time or success. And then in the defensive end, it's little miscues here and there. And I don't know if you saw Brad Marchand's two goal night last night against the Hawks, but just a guy that little attention to detail things that he's able to escape and evade awareness in the Hawks zone, where 3, 4, 5 guys on the ice are puck watching, that those are types of things with a young team or some young players on your team that you can excuse every once in a while as, hey, we're learning, we're growing, we're making mistakes. But when you start to see the same things happen over and over again, and they continue to compound, well, then that just comes right back to the coaching staff. And it's not that this team quit or rolled over. The Hawks have been scrappy and they have fought this year. It's just that the message, for whatever reason, wasn't continuing to get through. Really, for a coach that I believe, in an odd way, given where the Hawks finished last year in the standings, I think actually overachieved with the roster that he was given with all the injuries that piled up for Chicago last season. So, you know, different year, different expectations, and those expectations, I think, really are what hung over everyone's head to start this year, that this team was supposed to take a 15 to 20 point step in the standings, and they're now still in last place in the league.
One last one on this, because we definitely want to get to Four Nations. 2 weeks ago, Jim Montgomery was available. Is it just a thought that maybe he wouldn't have wanted to come to Chicago because they could have made this call and caught a really great head coach when he was available, or was St. Louis just a destination all along?
Well, I think St. Louis was probably going to be a destination all along because of the history that he has working there and working for Doug Armstrong. But I could tell you that Jim Montgomery would be a near perfect fit, a guy who's been a college coach, who I think is a great teacher and developer of talent, which is why you saw a team like St. Louis step up to go out and hire him. That said, Anders Sorensen is kind of going to be making some kind of history. He's the third European born and trained, although it's interim, it's going to be NHL head coach, and the first one in like 22 or 23 years. So it's been a long time since someone with his background has gotten a shot in the NHL. The Hawks are big believers in his future. They like what he's done in Rockford, and they're going to give him every opportunity to earn the full-time role as the rest of the season rolls on.
All right, Frank, we got a bet that we got for the Four Nations here. We'll get to the terms a little bit later. We'll discuss terms a little bit later, but how are we feeling after feasting our eyes on Team Canada for the first time? I was even more confident after I saw the official list yesterday. What's your reaction to the roster that the Canadian Brain Trust put together?
I'm actually going to spin it back to you. Why are you more confident today than you are? Like, I, to me, and not knocking any of the selections made, I think there were some really interesting selections
toward
the bottom half of Canada's forward group that I could have seen gone a little bit of a different direction. So what makes you more confident?
I definitely could see it going in a different direction. And we did our roster and it went in a different direction. But I just feel like, okay, you know, the talent up top, but then you see like this obvious pain in the ass utility at the bottom. And it feels like that fourth line for Canada is going to be an absolute terror to play against. Clearly that third line is going to have a lot of use for John Cooper matching up against quality top lines. And then we know what it looks like at the top of the lineup. I guess my worry was that they were going to use this tournament somewhat as a proving ground for the Olympics and maybe an opportunity to sell some jerseys. But instead they just took guys who just dominate at big moments in the playoffs and in regular seasons. And I feel like it's a really, really good roster that works cohesively. So when I saw it, I was like, wow, that's really, really good.
Okay, so I understand the cohesive nature, and obviously you didn't just pick an all-star team when you went for guys like Cirelli toward the bottom of your lineup. Hagel's a grinder. Obviously, the connection with John Cooper and his decision loomed large. But for me, I also felt like there was a bit of recency bias here. If you look over the last few seasons, Zach Hyman is fifth among Canadian-born goal scorers in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
I think just because he had a tough start to his season, okay, yeah, the goals haven't been there, but there's two things that I think should have supported his candidacy in a big way. One is the chemistry with Connor McDavid, which in a short tournament, you decided to go for some other chemistry in other places with Theodore and Pietrangelo and, you know, Makar and Taves. So why wouldn't you go for some of that up front with Hyman and McDavid? And it's not just that, but I think Zach Hyman stands on his own two feet as one of the best, if not the best, press player in the NHL. A dogged forechecker who makes things happen. That's extremely valuable when you want to talk about other tendencies or attributes to your game that you bring to the table. So to say, okay, well, he's only off to, you know, 6 points or 10 points or whatever it is to start this year, 3 goals, not good enough. You're right, but shouldn't the body of work, to me, Zach Hyman has made enough withdrawals in that bank account or made enough deposits in that bank account to be able to make a couple withdrawals.
Very quick, because we got to get to some other stuff. Who would you rather have on your NHL team, Sam Bennett or Zach Hyman?
I'm going Zach Hyman.
Really?
I love what Sam Bennett brings to the table, and playoffs have been hugely impactful for him. But I think there's another level that Zach Hyman can get to, making plays in tight and skill that Sam Bennett could only dream.
We're talking with Frank Cervelli of DailyFaceoff.com. Okay, is there something about no Thompsons allowed? No Tage Thompson, no Logan Thompson. What's the bigger snub between the Thompsons?
Ooh, I'm going to say that it's actually Logan Thompson, because I think if you were to just look at this year, and this is another confusing aspect of the Canadian roster for me. So, you know, on one hand, with your forward group, you've clearly decided that we're going to take the best players who are playing well right now. Mm-hmm. we just discussed that with Zach Hyman. Why did you not do the same with your goaltending? Why did you decide to say, okay, well, Jordan Binnington won a Stanley Cup 5 years ago and Adin Hill won a Stanley Cup a few years ago, so we're going to take them over the guys that are actually playing as the hot hand right now? There's a reason why the Washington Capitals have had a lot of the success that they have so far in the Eastern Conference, and Logan Thompson has been a big part of that. Tage Thompson has been great for the Buffalo Sabres, and his play warranted some consideration for sure. But you get into the same types of discussions that you have lower down the lineup in terms of how you fill out your group. And outside of that quick shot, he doesn't use his 6'6" frame well enough for me from a physical perspective to really warrant some extra consideration in the defensive end.
Were there any surprises on the U.S. roster for you? Any concerns based on what was selected, or are you proudly waving that flag without any concern?
Well, I am a proud American, and so I'm waving that flag. To me, there wasn't anything, egregious, so to speak. The one thing I will say, and this is a pure 30,000-foot perspective thing, is the fact that Team USA has gotten to a point where you can leave a 46-goal, 109-point player in the NHL in Jason Robertson on the cutting room floor speaks to how far the Americans have come over the last decade plus since our last best on best competition. Because of all the consternation that we saw on social media, there were people out for Tage Thompson and Cole Caulfield. Almost no one was mentioning Jason Robertson. And to me, that speaks volumes about how much better this U.S. team is than any other team that's ever been entered into a tournament, with all due respect to the 1996 World Cup of Hockey generation defining team.
These snub teams look pretty scary themselves. If you put the cutting room floor of the Canada, United States, they would have definitely more depth than maybe Finland, who just kind of puts all their best guys out there. They don't have too many, but they will be hard to play against, and Sweden as well.
I was just going to say quickly, how about the idea of a B team for each country, the U.S. and Canada, but then would the B team goalies for the U.S. led by Anthony Stolarz, would they be the best of any goaltending trio in this tournament?
They could be. It's
I think
luxury.
The sad thing is like we are the goaltending situation on a B team would be real ugly, and you'd have three guys that. Could
oh, and Marc-Andre Fleury,
Canada, yeah,
and Logan Thompson,
yeah,
and you could have Anne-Renee Debienne of the Canadian women's team.
Like that.
Okay, let's get our bet solidified, okay? Canada versus United States, us versus Frank Saravelli. We've been brainstorming something because we don't, we can't see each other physically, to do something, but we can be creative, and maybe we can propose, we would write some sort of beautiful poem acknowledging our love and appreciation for America and all the things that you guys are great at, and you would in turn have to do that.
Is that our proposed terms?
That's part of our proposal.
Do you have proposed terms, Frank?
I mean, you guys have seen my writing on Daily Faceoff. I don't think anyone wants to
read
that.
Just use ChatGPT.
You're the head of the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
Okay, what do you got?
Sure. Poems are not my thing. All right, here's what I'm going to throw out there.
Okay.
If the U.S. wins the Four Nations Faceoff, and by the way, there is a trophy that is being created.
Oh, I was wondering
there
about
are,
that.
There are medals that each player will win. If Team USA wins, you guys, for one show, Ailish, you have to dress up as the Statue of Liberty, including face paint. And Justin,
okay,
you have to dress up as Uncle Sam.
Oh, that would be good.
I mean, we might have to run it by powers that be.
What about you, though?
I'm okay with that. Well, what would you do in the event that Canada...
You got to dress like a moose or a beaver.
All right, I'll take a moose. I'm not dressing up as a beaver.
Okay, moose.
Be a moose that wears a Canadian tuxedo. And I've got the body type that suits it.
That's the only thing I could think of. Or like a Mountie, but we don't need to get, political or get Mounties in there.
Yeah, we could I think we got the terms.
Okay.
Very quickly, because we have 1 minute. Is this they have to win? Let's say Finland wins this thing and we're just bets off, or is it who advances the furthest?
If Finland wins, we have to both
Finland
do it.
If Finland or Sweden wins this, then no one
come
does
on.
Can we revert back to the head-to-head matchup between Canada and the United States if another country wins?
Well, no. See, but what happens if, Canada beats Sweden in the final? That just feels like it'd be...
This has to be a final?
I thought it was the team that...
Yeah, you're right.
The team that finished best.
Yeah, we'll stick with the original terms, and if neither one of those teams win, then no one has to do anything.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll finalize. We got a jet, though, Frank. We appreciate the time tonight.
Go get that moose costume ready.
Yeah, you're gonna have to find one, and we'll do our homework as well. We appreciate it, Frank.
Good luck. See you guys.
All right. That's Frank Saravelli, president of Daily Content, hockey content at dailyfaceoff.com. All right. We got to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to tee up OKC and Toronto in town here. Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet East, and Sportsnet 360, 7:30 start with Aaron Rose. And then we'll wrap up with Teresa Resch, president of the newest team, the Toronto Tempo.
Hey, it's Nick Kiprios.
And I'm Justin Bourne.
We're diving deep into everything happening in Leafland and the biggest stories around the NHL.
Real Kipper and Bourne, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on The Fan pregame, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, for the next half hour later on. If you're looking for OKC and the Raptors, it's a 7:30 start of Sportsnet Ontario East and 360. We got a little hockey on the network as well. Sportsnet has just a wide selection on Pacific West and Sportsnet 1. They got St. Louis and Calgary, Florida and Philly, Columbus and Edmonton. You can catch all that. And then our doubleheader later on Sportsnet 360 has OKC in Toronto and then Houston and Golden State. Lots going on tonight.
That's a big one, too. Houston, yes. Golden State, two of the better teams in the Western Conference this year.
Yeah, lots to go through. We're going to wrap up our final 30 minutes with a double whammy of basketball guests. Let's start with Aaron Rose of Sports Illustrated, who joins us. Aaron, we appreciate you jumping on. How's it going?
Things are good. Thanks for having me on.
We're going to have the newest president of the Toronto Tempo on after you. So you get a moment to speak your pros and cons of the Tempo. I think your tweet was like, why legitimately is the Tempo? And I think that's a really good question because there was a whole search for, like, you know, creativity and Toronto or Canadian connection. And I don't know if I get it either.
Yeah, I'm not going to criticize the team name in the sense that, like, you know, you could have picked anything. What is a Raptor, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't care about it. And if the team's successful and they win championships, like, nobody's going to look back and be like, well, we don't like a championship because the team name is that. But my gripe, if you will, is, like, Teresa Resch told us that they wanted to pick something that strongly represented Canada and strongly represented women. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just don't get it. Like, unless I'm missing something, like, Tempo doesn't represent Canada. Like, maybe if this was New Orleans and there was a Jazz connection or Memphis or something or Nashville, okay. But, like, is Canada has a great music scene, but I don't think it's music first. And then, maybe I'm missing something, but what does Tempo have to do with women? So that was sort of my first thought was, initially I thought it was temporary, as I think a few people mentioned. But yeah, I guess it's an interesting name. They clearly wanted alliteration, but I just don't see the connection to Canada and women.
Oh, okay. We'll try to get to the bottom of it with Teresa in about 15 minutes. Maybe we can get some answers for you. Okay. So the Thunder are in town and that's exciting for me, probably exciting for a lot of people who are fans of Canadian basketball because, of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lou Dort are in town. What's it like when Shai's in town? Is it a different vibe at Scotiabank Arena?
Well, I just went in OKC's locker room, and it looks like he has a post-game fit ready to go for us, like a King of the North. It almost looks like a bear costume. So I'm excited to see what he breaks out post-game. And then the other guy playing in this game that has been exceptional this year is RJ Barrett. So to have all three of them together, like the core of this Canadian national team, and you can throw, when he's healthy, Jamal Murray in the mix, it's certainly a ton of fun. And we had Benedict Mathurin and Andrew Nemar here the other night, and I think Mathurin had 50-something kids here to support the team and watch the game. So it's always great when you see these Canadian guys come home. And fortunately for us, we're seeing it happen, more often than it did a few years ago.
Yeah, Shai is definitely like the talking point when OKC comes into town. And Justin's a big fan, of course. We all are. But
you are, too.
Just in terms of the futures, too. Like, we definitely want one day Shai to take home an MVP trophy. We're heavily invested in it as well. But the pathway to that, I think, it might not be as clear as someone like Jokic or someone that, just kind of does it all for his team. Do you think there is a close future where Shai can be the guy that takes that home? Is it this year? Or is there still more steps? Or is his team just a bit too much of a team that shares maybe the ball and the wealth a little bit more than other teams?
Yeah, I think he might have, as you were sort of saying, the Jason Tatum problem, where that team's really good, but he's maybe not quite on the level of Jokic right now. So, what Jokic is doing right now probably has him as the leader in the conversation for the NBA's MVP. But you know, Shea's right there sort of behind him. And as OKC continues to be sort of the best team in the West and one of the best teams in the league, he certainly has, you know, has his name in that conversation. I'm not sure he'll get there this year, but if he continues playing well into the future and, you know, maybe Jokic takes a step back at some point, Shea's right there alongside Luka Doncic to eventually clinch a championship.
Okay, Aaron, I mean, a lot of the discussion entering this Raptors season was, okay, we got to see Scottie Barnes and IQ play together and play well together. We spent a lot of money on the two of them, and really the future hinges on a partnership between the two. But the stronger partnership, and I guess the most available partnership, has been Scottie Barnes with RJ Barrett, a smashing success here of late. It seems like those two are building meaningful chemistry. What is driving that for you?
Yeah, I think Eric Karin wrote a great story about it today, that this team all went out to Miami and all went out to Spain and got together. And it seems like the whole team builds chemistry. And I think a lot of that goes to Darko, that they brought in a head coach that was, you know, came in to preach development and focus on development. Maybe sometimes we think it's a little bit Ted Lasso-y with his kumbaya, everyone's so happy. But at the same time, it's working, right? This team across the board is exceeding expectations. And it seems like there's great chemistry from RJ Barrett with Scottie Barnes. And I actually was speaking to Obi Toppin a little while ago, former teammate of RJ's in New York. And he was saying that he thinks like sort of the spotlight of New York, he came in as the number three pick and there was a lot of pressure on him to sort of be a star and be a star in New York. And I think maybe that wasn't perfect for RJ, who's more of a quiet, I want to go about my business guy. And for whatever reason, he's come home, and sometimes that's difficult for guys to play in their hometown. But RJ is flourishing here, and it's been amazing to see. And when that trade happened for RJ and Quickley, it was like, okay, the Raptors got Quickley, and you know, there's this other kid in the trade. He's, you know, just okay. Well, it turns out he's pretty good. So the Raptors certainly looks like they got you know, two very good players. Hopefully, we see Quickley back in a few weeks now. But that trade looks like, you know, a bit of a home run for Toronto.
Yeah, we got to ask about Scottie Barnes because obviously coming off a game with 35 points, he's looking red hot. But I'm wondering if he should keep the glasses because it's like unlocked something. It's like when Mitch Marner chipped his tooth a couple of years ago, we called him Chip Marner, and he just had like his thing about him. Like maybe Scottie Barnes in the glasses is like how he should just play for the rest of this season.
Yeah, he's looking like Kareem with the glasses on. I said to him the other day, I said, how do the glasses feel? And he said, yeah, like I'm shooting the ball great. So he's certainly happy with it. And he's taken his game to another level. And it's just unfortunate he missed those few games there that we haven't been able to see, as you mentioned, all these guys together. But there's some anticipation growing. This team is already exceeding expectations. And you see, okay, RJ Barrett's playing well. Scottie Barnes is playing well. Now what happens when you throw Quickley? And it sounds like Grady Dick will be back tonight. So you throw him, another guy that was playing really well before his injuries that keep plaguing this team. But now Yak's gone for tonight. But across the board, there's a lot to be excited about. And I think we're seeing Scottie Barnes handling point guard responsibilities, which could be something that we're going to see more of down the road, even when Quickley's back.
We'll get to the Yak absence in a second here, but I do want to ask you about the breakfast basketball. And Jamal Shedd, Jonathan Mobo, Jameson Battle, Jacoby Walter, they all started today for the 9:05 earlier at Scotiabank Arena, and they're all available tonight. Is there some precedence to this? Because we see, like, these four guys, you know, see a lot of the floor tonight. Like, is this something
most
that normally...
Most minutes played in one day, maybe?
Yeah, like, are we breaking some records here, most minutes across two teams?
The Raptors have done this before, and I think it's one of the interesting benefits of having a team so close to home. Mark Dagnall, the coach for Oklahoma City, was talking about this before the game, that Toronto is one of those franchises that you look at, and they've really sort of perfected development in part because that they have the 905 so close to Toronto that you can have the shuttle bus back and forth, and that you can have the big club go down and, you know, watch those guys in Mississauga. They played today at Scotiabank Arena. And then you can have them, you know, those players right back up with the big club and getting minutes. So it's going to be a long night, especially for Jonathan Mobo, who's probably going to be in for some big minutes with Jakob Pertle tonight. But it's great to see that this organization has the ability to bring guys back and forth so quickly.
Yeah, so Pertle out tonight, and Pertle's been a force for lots of the season. But it's a tough matchup against OKC because, you know, they do have a big again. They're missing Isaiah Hartenstein for a while, but he's back, and he's playing really well for OKC and facilitating everything that they do on the floor. Without Pertle, how does the challenge change tonight for Toronto and trying to deal with OKC without their best big?
they're in a lot of trouble. They were in a lot of trouble last year when they lost Yak. I think they went 4-28 last season. No Kelly Olynyk. He's missed the whole season so far and isn't available tonight. It sounds like they're going to rely on Bruno Fernando and Jonathan Mobo. And, you know, this was already a team that I think I saw 9.5-point underdogs against OKC, the best team in the West right now. And now you're missing, you know, Scotty Barnes is the best player for this team, the face of the franchise, but I'm not sure if there's anyone more important to what this Raptors team does right now than Jakob Poeltl. We've had conversations before about, okay, what would it look like if the Raptors are going to tank the second half of the season? Well, the guy you'd have to make disappear, whether that's a trade or, you know, some sort of injury thing, is Jakob Poeltl. So I think tonight might be a rough one for the Raptors because Jakob Poeltl is just so crucial to everything Toronto does.
Well, enjoy the Canadian connection and that Canadian tuxedo that Shay's got for you guys after.
King of the North suit.
King of the North. Looking forward to it, Aaron, and we appreciate you jumping on.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much. Aaron Rose of Sports Illustrated, ahead of Raptors OKC. I just quickly Googled it on Basketball Reference. It says that Dale Ellis once played 69 minutes in a single day. I don't know how the math works for that.
Honestly, Mobo might get there.
So this is my quick Googling of Basketball Reference, and he leads it with 69 minutes.
Okay. Mobo started today. I'm sure he played a lot. Maybe they didn't have to drive him into the ground, but he might have to play a lot with Jakob Poeltl out. So we'll track that, see if we have a new record holder with Mobo.
That, I don't know if it counts, you know, from, you know, NBA. And
well, I mean, I guess there was a doubleheader. I don't know.
I didn't get into Dale Ellis's life story.
Yeah,
quick Google search,
and I don't think they were doing like the Raptors.
We'll send that to our producer to do.
When that was last. We'll find out later.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Quickly, going to do a reminder for our listeners that we have an amazing 50-50 going on. You can win a bunch of cash while doing the best thing this holiday season. It's Sportsnet 590, the Fan's 50-50 fortune supporting food for kids. We've created a 50-50 lottery where the more money we raise, the more kids we can feed in the GTA, and the more you can win. The current take-home prize is over $475,000. Someone's going to win that jackpot on Thursday, December 19th. And if you get your tickets early, there's amazing early bird prizes, including two sports packages. One's a pair of tickets to an upcoming Leafs game with a William Nylander signed jersey. And the second is a pair of tickets to a Jays game and a signed George Springer jersey. Get your tickets by tomorrow, Friday, December 6th at 9 a.m. for your chance to win. For more details and to buy your tickets, go to foodforkids5050.ca or text the word cash to 59590. We'll send the link right to your phone. 5050 Fortune supporting food for kids. Standard message and data rates apply.
And they told tomorrow. Me $500,000 was impossible.
I think we might get to a million.
We might fly. Well,
it's amazing.
It might be tough.
But yeah, get your
Depends
tickets by tomorrow
deadline,
morning.
Depends when that 9 a.m. tomorrow. Yeah, it's going to be tough to hit a million.
For the early bird.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So, thank you. Looking forward to that. Let's do some quick best bets before we wrap with Teresa.
Thank you. Yeah, let's do some best bets.
Thank you.
You go first. We'll stick with the Thunder Raptors.
Okay, so I got one on the network tonight, of course, OKC and Toronto. That's on Sportsnet Ontario East and 360, a 7:30 start. I'm doing a Canada basketball parlay, okay? Shea, RJ, and Lou Dort, all two. I mean, I know there's more Canadians, but this is my best bets.
These are the ones we're going to see.
These are the ones you can find on the betting lines, okay? So Shea Gilgeous-Alexander over his points, which is around 30. Depends where you're getting it. RJ Barrett over his points was around 20. And Lou Dort to get over threes, which is just two. We parlay that up, plus 425. Big Canadian basketball night.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a lot better about the Thunder knowing that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is planning maybe
he's got a fit,
the fit of all fits, and he's probably the most stylish guy. Yeah, I might have to look into that by the end of the night, and I'll probably pair that with the Thunder minus 9.5. I think this is probably a good spot for the Thunder. The Raptors don't have a big. You heard the stat from Aaron Rose where the record is without Jakob Poeltl. So the Thunder, 9.5-point favorites tonight. I like them to win pretty comfortably as double-digit winners.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay. Let's wrap up with the big news of the day and the woman of the hour, Teresa Resch, president of the Toronto Temple, joining us. Congratulations on an exciting day. Oh, you already got the logo and the gear all
the
fitted
collab.
Out.
Looking good. Ready to go.
How's it going, Teresa?
Going great. Thanks for having me on, especially pregame. I liked your parlay there. Canada
yes.
basketball for the win.
Yes, great. That's it. We're all for Canada basketball today. I even got
just
my
wait
dub,
till we start
my
betting the
WNBA
tempo.
Hoodie
and the sweatshirt.
On.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the sweatshirt.
I'm waiting
great.
For my Toronto Tempo merch to come in the mail. Soon, you know, soon.
We all are. Yeah. Put that IOU Toronto Tempo gear underneath Perfect. That Christmas tree.
All right. There you go. I love that. Just walk us through today, because obviously an exciting one, the unveiling of the name, the colors, which we love, the logo. Like, yeah. What an exciting day, of course, to start a brand new future here with the Toronto Tempo.
Extremely exciting. You know, this is the birth of a team, right? It was awarded in May, but this is really, truly the birth of our identity. So exciting to share this with the world. We've been met with a ton of enthusiasm. Really exciting to talk about why Tempo? Why does this resonate with Toronto? Why does this resonate with Canada? We really love how it talks about the game, right? The tempo of the game. It's a duality of fast and slow, yet it's the control. We talk about tempo being truly the heartbeat of the city. It's been really fun. I've done, I think, 15 interviews today, and I haven't quite got tired of talking about it. So I can't wait for more people to talk about it and to really fall in love with this team. We're so excited to play in 2026. Coca-Cola Coliseum is going to rock. Just thinking about the fans, they're so creative and they come up with so many incredible rituals. I can't wait to see what they do with Tempo. We're going to be in Toronto, obviously, but we're Canada's team. So we're going to play in cities outside of Toronto as well. And, you know, stay tuned in 2025. We're going to talk to you about all that merch that's coming down the path, type way. But we'll also talk about, you know, those games that we're going to play in other places. We'll start talking about basketball. I'm going to hire a GM here in the next couple months, and they'll start building out their team, coach, and we'll get some players next year too. So much exciting things to talk about. And it starts today. You know, welcome Toronto Tempo to the world. You know, December 5th, 2024 is our birthday.
Awesome. Awesome. Maybe the answer is no, since there's a lot to do, but can you exhale now? I mean, I'm sure it's an exciting day, but a stressful day on the path. I mean, launching a brand seems like maybe one of the most intimidating or scary things to do, because public perception is this huge thing, and you're adding something new to the discussion, and you just want to nail it. Was it stressful getting to December 5th and the birthday of the Toronto Tempo?
It's funny. I wouldn't say stressful. You definitely want to get it right. You know, I think that there's so much excitement, especially in Canada, you know, tons of pressure, but Billie Jean King says it best. Pressure is a privilege. And we definitely feel that. We feel very honored to be here representing not only Toronto, but all of Canada. Really the gateway to the world for the WNBA. Like, we truly believe that. We know that one out of every four women's sport WNBA fans in Canada are new Canadians. So it's truly the gateway to the world. So we love it. We rise to the occasion just like our team will. And it's completely exhilarating. It really is. It's probably like a roller coaster, I guess, more than stressful. It's just like exhilarating and terrifying all at the same time. it was so much fun today to talk for the very first time about the Toronto Tempo, and I can't wait to continue to talk about it for the rest of my life.
Well, I know that you guys had a call for inspiration, and a lot of, over 10,000 Canadians helped submit names and color schemes and designs and, you know, whatever they could to help get the Toronto Tempo to this part. How helpful was that in, like, the collaboration process? How much Toronto Tempo push was there already from fans to land on this point and the awesome color scheme and the logo? Like, collaboration seemed to be a really great way to make this community already feel involved.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that one. When we were awarded the team in May, we knew that we wanted our name and logo origin story to be about a collective of people, not a small group of people in a boardroom. So we did the call to action. We had over 10,000 submissions, over 1,000 unique names to go through. And then we also had a group of professionals, right? We hire a marketing agency and a design agency to help us, the experts in that space. But then we also brought in a community council of people, kind of handpicked to represent Canada across the country, demographics, everybody, you know, trying to get a cross section of Canada to help us go down that path. And it was a collective, you know, and once we had Tempo, you know, it rose to the top. And ultimately, when we got there, then it was time to make a logo. And we did the same thing. We put out a call for creators. We ended up hiring three people to work with our design agency and our marketing agency as a collective to come up with our solution. And I love that you love the colors. Mm-hmm. You know, I do too, but I'm completely biased. But the Nike, it comes from the, you know, Nike is our outfitter. So we pick the colors out of their kind of choices that we have to make the jerseys out of. And it's Bordeaux and hydrogen blue. We think it's a great combo. It's a great, kind of like a modernized twist on the Toronto color palette, right? So Toronto has kind of like a royal blue with the Blue Jays and the Leafs, and then also the I don't know, bright red with the Raptors and TFC. And this is our take on that, right? So they're complementary, but they also stand out. So we feel like we'll fit within the Toronto sports scene really well.
Yeah, I love how the blue is sort of an off-white. It's something that I think you guys can do some special things with the jerseys. We're looking forward to seeing those. So we're talking to Teresa Resch, president of the Toronto Tempo. It does sound good to say.
The more you say it, the more you love it. Like, Toronto Tempo, let's go.
I love hearing that. I mean, to say, like, you know, I'm Teresa Resch, I'm president of the Toronto Tempo. Yeah, how much better is that than
looks
president
good
of WNBA Toronto?
Looks good on the CV. Not going to lie. Looks good on the CV. Okay, so you said something else that I love today, which is that the Toronto Tempo will move at a championship cadence. That makes me think of, hey, when is the championship coming to the WNBA team in Toronto? But like, just in terms of the precedent and what you can do at the WNBA, because it's different when in any league, really, how fast you can build a winner. How fast in the WNBA can you build Toronto a winner?
Well, only time will tell. The one thing I will say is we're really excited about being part of this league that's evolving at rocket ship space. I mean, time, it's crazy. It's on a rocket ship. We look forward to seeing the new CBA to see what kind of rules we're playing under in order to build that team. Currently they're in negotiations. So we look forward to seeing where that lands. And ultimately, you know, I was with the Raptors for 11 years. I came in 2013 and we won a G League championship in 2017 and we won an NBA championship in 2019. So I'm missing the WNBA championship for the trifecta. So guaranteed that is at the top of our list to do. Now, TBD on how fast we can do it, but just know we are going to be striving for that every single day.
Last one for you, Teresa. You said today also that when you step into the streets of the city, you feel tempo. So where is it that you feel the most tempo in Toronto?
I don't think I can pin it down in one place. This city is incredible. I'm not from here. I grew up in the States. I moved here in 2013, like I said, and I call it home. I became a Canadian citizen. This city is incredible. I love the energy. So many different neighborhoods, so much good food. Ooh, love the restaurant scene here. And the tempo is whatever you make it, right? You can take it slow. You can go fast. You know, I think the best tempo in this city is probably going to be at Coca-Cola Coliseum come May of 2026 when the Toronto Tempo tip off.
Definitely. You got to get yourself some Canadian talent too. There's a lot of great WNBA players and hopefully you can just pluck one right in there to be your star. Wouldn't that be nice? I got a little short list. We'll go through that. If you're looking for a GM, just kidding. I know you are, but not me.
Literally,
the CV's not as good in that.
Right now. I'll look at that CV as we're talking about that. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate your time. Hopefully you're almost done all the interviews of today, but congratulations on a great launch. December 5th, definitely a day that we're all going to remember. Toronto Tempo, welcome to the city, and we're excited to see how we take some strides towards a championship coming here.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for telling the story of Toronto Tempo. Women's sports has been underrepresented for so long. So it's great to see this team, even though we don't have a single player yet, get some airtime. And I can't wait to hear you guys continue to tell our stories as we evolve.
For sure we will. Thanks, Teresa. Enjoy the weekend. That's Teresa Resch, president of the Toronto Tempo. There they go.
Very exciting. You know, management, executive brass, they don't like to tell us where they hang out, eh?
No, it's top secret, buddy. You can't even get yourself in the door.
That's true. But even if she said it,
like, I think
I can't get into
the first thing the Toronto Tempo needs is to secure a big time Canadian talent like.
No tampering now.
I know.
You want to be the general manager. We don't tamper.
No tampering. But there are some unbelievable Canadian talent.
And there's lots coming through the collegiate system
it.
We speak.
The
there's
WNBA
more and more. They might not have to poach to get someone they can build this brand around.
To be honest, I got to look into the expansion draft rules because I know Golden State Valkyries, which is also pretty baller, are like in the midst of doing it either today or tomorrow. So they're one step ahead of Toronto and all of these things. They're getting a team a year earlier and they've done the jerseys and they're doing an expansion. I don't know how it works, to be honest. So it'll be a good test to see what Toronto might be able to get when it comes to their turn. But you got to have a face of a Canadian face in that barn, rink, Coliseum.
Working pretty well for the Raptors right now.
Yeah,
having a couple Canadian faces again. This isn't you know, it's not a masterpiece of a season, but RJ Barrett is definitely making his mark this year. And it's definitely something to build around. A lot to be excited about in terms of Canada basketball, including, you know, a Canada basketball showcase tonight at Scotiabank Arena on Sportsnet with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder taking on the Raptors. So exciting times in the hoops world.
Yeah, we're looking forward to catching that one tonight up at 7:30 across our network. We got a couple other games on the network if you're looking for hockey. St. Louis and Calgary, 9 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. Florida and Philly, Sportsnet Pacific at 7. Columbus and Edmonton, Sportsnet West at 9. And then if you're looking for some late night hoops, Houston and Golden State, 10 p.m. on Sportsnet 360.
Bordeaux is officially the color.
It sounds like a glass of wine.
Sounds pretty good.
All right, have a good night. See you tomorrow.